This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 383 in the series. This shares my conversation with CHOP Franklin's organizer, Sarah Mabardi. Our conversation was conducted via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. This is the start of sharing our conversation that Sarah and I have around how to help the small businesses of Franklin. We have some thoughts. You may too. If you have questions, ideas, or suggestions, feel free to reach out to Sarah or myself. We discuss in the audio how to do so. The recording runs just about 26 minutes, so let's listen into my conversation with Sarah. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR-FM and in the local Franklin area, 102.9 on your FM dial. We are with Sarah Mabardi of CHOP Franklin and the instigation. Well, first of all, good morning and welcome, Sarah.
Good morning, Steve. As always, it's such a pleasure to catch up and talk. I'm so happy to be here. I think this is my first time as a guest on Franklin TV radio. I've co-hosted a show
and had a TV show. Yeah.
But it's good to be on this
end. A whole series that I've shared of more than 10, if I recall, is probably 20 or something.
Yeah, I was going to say probably 20. Maybe we'll get back to that. Those were fun.
Yes. Yeah. In the post or new world, new COVID world, we'll try to do some recordings because clearly the CHOP Franklin piece, and that's effectively the instigator. I've seen a couple of your kind of impromptu Saturday morning or Sunday morning videos to CHOP Franklin. And that conversation is effectively while you're having kind of the one-sided conversation and then get some comments, et cetera. I just want to kind of have that conversation with you and I, and then have everybody else just listen in.
Awesome. Yeah, I really, CHOP Franklin has evolved over the 5 years that it's been around when I started it. And it's primarily a Facebook community, which has its limitations. And as my life has evolved in those 5 years, the way that I connect to community members has changed. And the one thing that's remained constant is that Franklin, CHOP Franklin, is about supporting, raising awareness of, and building community around Franklin small businesses. And that's, as I've said, is our small businesses is our heart, it's our culture, it's our community, it's our neighbors, and it's so important. And so these little videos that I've been doing are just one more way to share my thoughts. They're completely unscripted. It's off the cuff. I don't even know what I'm going to say, but I have an idea of what I want to express. And it usually comes through and is purely authentic, which I think is one of the most important things, is that authenticity.
Yeah. And that's where, I mean, for disclosure, for the record, you and I have met multiple times, not as frequently as we'd like, because both of our schedules are challenging and sometimes get more so than others. But yeah, I think if the iceberg is kind of the picture, you know, people think of kind of the tip as where that's where a lot of the attention is. But to your point, the small businesses are that hidden bulk of the iceberg supporting the economy at the top of Franklin, and particularly in COVID days. And who knows how we're going to define what we're going to look like after. Some more supporting the small business is critical. And there, unfortunately, will be some fallouts. You know, some people will not make it through there. But for those who either are coming in, and there are some bright spots coming in to deliver certain market services, products, et cetera. And then those who are here still trying to do what they need to do, they all need support.
Yeah, the video that you watched was to that point. It's like we are at the tipping point with COVID. And even pre-COVID, there were challenges that we are facing as a town. And we need to understand, or I think it benefits us all to understand, I shouldn't say need, it benefits us all to understand the ecosystem that we live in, that everything is so connected. And as we enter this pandemic, realizing what challenges we face, what's on the responsibility of other people to do, but And as we can't control that, what can we do as individuals to make Franklin the community that we want to live in? And that's why I started Shaw Franklin, is to create a community that I want to live in and support. And with pandemic, yeah, a lot of businesses are going to close, and small businesses don't have the resources that larger corporations do. Mm-hmm. So as we see, you know, talking about this interconnectedness, as we see small business close, that opens real estate. And who can afford open real estate after a pandemic? It's corporations, it's chains, it's franchises. All right, back after that quick drop off in my audio, sorry about that. But to what I was saying, the ecosystem and Franklin small businesses, how everything's connected, and larger businesses coming in and taking over those spaces. And when they do, those larger businesses aren't going to be using local accountants, local lawyers, local printing businesses, local sign companies. If you think of all of those, I can think of, you know, our sign companies, NHS Print, Signs by CAM, Allegra Printing. We can think about our lawyers, our insurance companies, you know, Barry Insurance, Keefe Insurance. There's all these businesses that are in Franklin that support the people that work there. And then even hiring, you know, hiring practices. And just, it all comes back to that, you know, connection, that intimacy, that friendship that you have with people in your community, and how important is that?
Yeah. And it's interesting to see in how the town now is coming around with their Think Franklin First campaign and helping to reinforce exactly some of the points that you started a few years ago to try and drive through to that point. I think it was reason one or two, I forget exactly the number. Reason five was just posted this week in their series of Think Franklin First. And I think the dollars spent on a local business, 60% of that, if I remember correctly, stays local, as opposed to if it was spent on a, you know, call it a big box store or a chain store. You know, most of that dollar, unfortunately, leaves Franklin, to your point, because it's, you're not using the other auxiliary services, the insurance, the print, et cetera, never mind the employees. Clearly some of them are here, but not all of them are. Yeah.
But in a local business, you're generally hiring local or, you know, really close by people, and they're going to spend their money locally.
Correct.
And, you know, their families are going to spend locally. And it really is all connected. And I'm really excited about the Think Franklin First campaign. I've, you know, talked to different people who are involved, and it's a great initiative. And I'll be honest, you know, someone asked me, they said, you know, oh, well, you've been doing this for a while. You know, are you, you know, how do you feel about it? I said, awesome. I feel great about it, because this isn't about me. And as much as I post videos, I do giveaways, I share information, this has nothing to do with me. And there's, the only thing in it for me is to create a better community for my family and for my friends and for my neighbors. And anyone who is willing to step up and start a campaign or invest in that goal, that's awesome. So Think Franklin First, they're doing a great job, and I'm really excited about seeing what they have ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. There's lots of opportunities there, including the Economic Development Subcommittee, Melanie Hamblin chair, and the market analysis, the market study by the the Metro Area Policy Committee, or Commission rather, MAPC. I sometimes stumble over some of the acronyms. There's so many.
There's so many. Absolutely.
But that market study, just when you look at it, and aside from the summary, aside from the recommendations to the credit of the EDC, they're at least doing the listening sessions before they set out a priority to start working on some of the recommendations, which is good because the study is a study. And oh, by the way, it's also with data that's pre-COVID. So some of it may be changing as we speak. But I think the roots and the bricks and the mortar, to pull that analysis in there, some of those things aren't going to change. And some of the demographics haven't changed and won't change, you know, potentially right away. That will change, you know, whether there'll be a baby boom out of this. We'll see, you know, 5 or 6 years from now, right?
We won't see it right away. Families are home together a lot. I don't know if there's going to be a baby boom or the other side. So we'll see.
Who knows?
Right? But yeah, the Economic Development Committee is so important in Franklin. And I don't know that people are aware how much they do and they've been doing even prior to the survey. You know, Brian Taberner, I know he's done a lot in the corporate sector. And they do a lot, and I love this visibility. And those listening sessions are such a great opportunity for business owners to have their voice heard. And I really encourage residents to get involved in the process. I'm so glad I did. With Shop Franklin was my impetus to start paying closer attention. Mm-hmm. And the benefits of doing so have just been phenomenal. And that said, other things going on, we, this is November 4th, the day after a big election, right? So we don't have full results, but we do see that the Community Preservation Act passed.
Yes.
And, someone might say, well, what does the CPA have to do with small business? A lot. It actually does. And the way that it does is we're talking about, the title says Community Preservation Act. So Shop Franklin's about community. That's one thing. But the way a community values its green space, we have not a lot of open space in Franklin, but there's large swaths of land that are zoned commercial. Mm-hmm. That are currently trees. And any privately owned lot of land has the potential to be developed within its zoning or with a variance for that zoning. Mm-hmm. So for example, I'm aware of a large swath of land. Actually, there's a few that are available for purchase, and those will get built. Unless there's some intervention, those are going to get built. And 9 times out of 10, that's going to be, honestly, a mega plaza. We haven't seen our last mega plaza in Franklin. There is room for more.
Yeah.
And some of the big businesses are thriving in the pandemic because it's easy. And they can come in and they can buy land and they can build. And what that does is it creates ghost lands for small businesses. I've seen it in the South, in the Appalachia region. Dollar Tree goes in, Walmart goes in, all the small businesses close. Oh, and then those warehouses and those big stores are where people go because they can get it cheap. And in those dire places where the economies are struggling, it just creates a wasteland. And not to say that's going to happen to Franklin, but the CPA allows us to access funds on a state level that are allocated for preserving land. So if there's land adjacent to the Franklin State Forest that's zoned that it can be commercial, we could acquire that at competitive rates so that we can create a recreational center for our kids. And when we have kids who are thriving and have access to nature, are healthier, our mental health is more, stronger, and we can invest money where we need it. The CPA, just a side plug, not necessarily small business, but supporting our seniors and our low-income housing, affordable housing, I should say, is a huge, it's so important to me that we invest, those of us who can invest in those who need a helping hand. And that's what community is all about.
It is. It is. And I think the key piece, to the extent that there is no soundbite that's going to, resonate, there's always more to the story. We need to create these, open porches so that people can have the conversations to start putting the ideas together. Because even with the SNET Trail as an example, that started many, many years ago, and the tunnel finally was built. So things don't happen overnight, right? Even a new business starting, there's months of prior planning. And whether it's negotiation or getting to a space and then getting the permits, all of that takes time, right? And the conversations need to start before that work is started, right? So what I think from your community point for Shop Franklin, and even if it's Think Franklin First, we together, this is an inflection point where we need to start having those open, honest, sometimes tough conversations, but we need to come to the table to have those conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the video that you watched, actually not the video you watched, the next video that I posted yesterday, I did talk about that and talking about, the world is a bell curve in so many ways, and you can live in the fringes, but there's so much more in the middle, and there's so much that we agree on. And if we hold fast to what we disagree on, or if we let that prevent us from connecting with others, we're not going to get anywhere. And that's what community is about. And so your open porch idea is, come on in. We may not agree on everything, but let's talk about it. And there's beauty in diversity and diversity of thought. There's a reason there's 655,000 pizza places in Franklin. And that's an exact number.
Yeah, it's been tested.
And we're always
just check every survey on Facebook.
Who is the best pizza? Where can I find Greek pizza? Where can I have this? Not everyone likes the same pizza.
No.
We have lots of pizza places.
But we like pizza.
Exactly. And so how do we say, like, you know, I care about small businesses, but I am opposed to this or I'm opposed to this. How do we come together and connect on things? And I told you earlier, you know, in this, you know, tense election time, one of the best things that I did was reach out to someone that has different political views than I have and said, hey, you know what? I want to do something. You know, and I know that you share this value. How do we make it happen? Who can we talk to? And it's bringing those people together that may disagree on how it happens, but wants to see it happen. So this, you know, my outreach of like anyone who wants to support small businesses, we may not agree on how it should happen, but we agree it should happen. So let's hang out and let's find out how we can create access points. And it is a long journey. You know, this isn't going to happen overnight. No. You're going to have long conversations. You are going to have bumps in the road. But as we come together as a community, as we support one another, we'll get there. And it's a long journey to, you know, legislative ends or construction ends or building. And you need to look in the long run. But what are we doing in the short term? And we need to act now in this time to at least get started. And I feel very strongly about, you know, trying to create, you know, Shop Franklin, I hope, is a platform where people feel safe doing that. And starting the conversation of how do we support our small businesses now so that long term we have the town we want to be in. Mm-hmm. And especially in COVID times, we got to get creative. And that's why we have to come together, because we can't sit around a table. We have to proactively schedule Zoom meetings, you know, or virtual meetings like we're doing here. And we have to, shoppers have to show up. Consumers have to show up. Customers have to show up to support the small businesses and our independently owned businesses. But businesses have to get creative and come up with new ways to work. This is a period where everyone's going to have to evolve. And those who don't evolve may not make it, not because they don't want to make it, but because they just can't adapt to the new environment. And how can we help them do that? If there's a business that you care about, don't wait for them to close. Proactively reach out. If there's a business in Franklin that you can't live without, reach out to them and say, how can I support you? Are you struggling with something right now? If you have, you know, personally, there was a business not in Franklin, somewhere I travel to, that I know is struggling. And it's a business that I absolutely love. And they have a tip jar. And so I tipped generously. I said, I care about you. And I want you to be here when I come back up, when I can. And they're actually using it to do some infrastructure stuff that they actually wouldn't have gotten through the winter without it. And she wasn't sure how they're going to pay for it. And it wasn't that big, but it was enough that it offset so they could stay. They didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, it was the tipping point. And I think that helps us make some of the connections, Chloe, in the election season where we're at. How can we help the small business? Well, we can vote with our dollars. We can go online and get something elsewhere or to the Think Franklin First, Think Shop Franklin First. If we can get it here, how do we do that? Maybe they can order. Maybe we can order online. Maybe they can deliver. Maybe we have to do something, to your point, in the conversation with them. How do they make it easier for us to do business with them? They may, that may not be their mindset, because clearly they opened the doors saying, I'm going to be here. I've got this and people are going to come. Well, the world's changed.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It's that collaborative. It's that integration between the two. We're going to have that conversation. Otherwise, some of those businesses, unfortunately, will go out. And then when that space opens, who comes in? And is it the big box piece, the chain that has some of the funding, but to our earlier point, won't have the dollars reinvested in the community that we need? So yeah, that equivalence and that conversation, I think we just need to have it. So this is, if anything, the start. Consider it the start.
I love your point about, you know, they may not understand what their customers need in this new environment. Who does, right? Mm-hmm. And and we have very disparate beliefs on what's appropriate behavior during this time. And we're seeing that in the public forum. So for example, I'm not going into buildings. I'm probably on the extreme end, but you know, being familiar with chronic illness, it's not something I want to take any chance with. So I do curbside pickup, even for my groceries still, and we're in November as we record this.
Right.
And so my shopping local has been harder because it's the websites aren't updated. So you have to jump over that barrier and say, all right, how do I get it? I'm going to call them, ask them if they have it, ask them if I can pay over the phone, ask them if they can bring it to the curb, even if they haven't publicly said that they do.
Right.
But if I'm going to purchase something, I'm going to do that. Some places are appointment only. You have to use the phone. Nobody uses the phone anymore, right? If you need me, text me. And so yesterday, you know, I did Green Mountain Chocolate's curbside. I did Poor Richard's curbside. Who else did I do? I'll probably do Molly's Apothecary curbside. But I called all of them and said, this is what I'm looking for. Sure. And I think consumers have to do that. But on the flip side, it's not just up to consumers, it's up to the businesses to make it as easy as possible. And talk to other business owners. Terraza came up with this great shopping app, like where you can click through and do a tour of the store, which is so cool. And I saw another business has the same platform. And spy on other businesses or call them and say, hey, I see you're really successful with this. Because when it comes to community, there's no competition. As soon as fast as you can put aside competition and come to collaboration and community, the more successful you will be. And that is so important, especially now. So stop competing and trying to win and for yourself and win for everybody, because we will all benefit.
Yeah. It's a term we had come up and probably discussed in one of our earlier conversations about co-petition. So it's cooperative competition. And as a running analogy, and even on a cross-country team, it's probably the best way. In order for the team to succeed, you've got to help your teammates, because when the five get across the line before the other five, that counts. So even if they're the sixth or the seventh, you know, leave nobody behind. Bring them forward. Give them that little turn. You know, that word, you know, maybe of encouragement as they go up the hill or turn the corner. And the parallel, coming back to our conversation here, make the call, vote with your dollars, right? Because that's clearly what they need. And then obviously there's a win-win, because you got the product that you want and enjoy.
Yeah. And we're all in this together. It is all about us.
Yeah.
Us and, as a Franklin community, and not just Franklin. This is happening everywhere in the country and probably the world right now.
Right.
But you do what you can within the circle of where you can do it.
Yes.
And it breaks my heart that I know that Franklin is actually quite affluent and comfortable compared to other areas of our country and our state right now, even our neighboring communities.
Sure.
And you know, I wish I could do more, but narrow your focus and impact what you can. So, you know, we're talking in big terms about saving Franklin and the community, but let's break it down a little bit smaller and say, do what you can for you. Mm-hmm. You know, so narrow it to your little circle. If that's what you're comfortable with, if that makes you feel safe, or it gets you a little win, or you get the confidence to go further,
right.
Do it. And if you have the capacity to impact change on a larger scale because of your circle of influence or because of connections that you have or people you support, do that. But with all of us doing a little bit, we're going to get that much further, and we're going to do it faster than all of us doing nothing or some of us doing a lot.
Yeah. And certainly as we're having these conversations, and I'm saying in plural because this won't be the only one, we'll continue. We've always had the conversations. Now they'll just be more public as we navigate this new world and do this on a periodic basis. Still remains to be determined, but I'll reach out and talk, and we'll figure out how we can talk together. And then in terms of the feedback from the listeners, because hopefully there are indeed some people listening, they know how to get to Franklin Matters. And if they don't, just go to franklinmatters.org. My info is all over there. And then from your point of view, you're on Facebook and Shop Franklin, and people should be able to find that very easily. Mm-hmm. And let's figure out how we can, you know, what is going to be this new world? How are we going to get together? What are the little things we can do? And just reach out, and maybe in a future piece, we can add somebody else to the conversation here too. It doesn't just have to be you and I.
Yeah. And I really encourage anyone to reach out, and I'll throw Steve out there. Yeah. Call him first, but reach out to me too. It's to foster community. If you have a question on who to contact about something, send me a Facebook message. You can email me shopfranklin@gmail.com. And even if it's not small business related, maybe I shouldn't throw that out there, but because Steve and I have been engaged for a while, we do know, who do I talk to if I want to support this cause? How do I get more information about this? Where do I find recordings on legislation? How do I access my state rep? You know, currently, as of this morning, our state rep is Jeff Roy, our state senator is Becca Rausch and Karen Spilka across the district. You know, we've been in this realm. If you have a question, if you need resources, we can at least put you in touch with someone. You know, my specialty and my area of focus is shopping local, but again, that's about community. So if we can find resources for our community, reach out.
And for those who haven't heard, Franklin Matters.
Absolutely.
The platform that I have created and we're sharing with you and hopefully sharing to the listeners is, you know, there are a lot of things that are going on. Certainly, I focused on the business of Franklin. And then in now my retirement day, I'm looking at the quality of life that business brings to us. So it kind of brings us back in and around to where we are. And this is the start of a conversation. So yeah, if you are listening, you've got ideas, you've got some questions, reach out. Don't be bashful. Sarah's not going to turn you away. She will listen. And at some point in time, if you've got something you want to join us here as well, by all means, let's do so.
Absolutely.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana. Copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.